The words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Sermon for today, the fourth Sunday in Lent. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. The Most Reverend John T. Calhoun, Jr. St. Paul asked the church in Galatia, "Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law?" The problem he has with the Galatians is that same problem he had with his church in Rome. Some members of the congregation were Jews who have accepted Jesus as the Savior of Israel. They are Christians in that sense, but they still regard themselves as Jews, completed and fulfilled Jews, but Jews nonetheless. Because they have made no real break with their past, they think they need to keep on following the entire Old Testament law. The Jewish Christians who think that Gentiles who want to join the church should observe the whole law too. This becomes a touchy and difficult issue, especially for St. Paul, who is a committed Jew, a highly educated rabbi, and a man who first came to understand Jesus in Jewish terms. But he never wavers in saying that the coming of Jesus has changed everything, especially the role of the law. So St. Paul demands, "Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law?" He means, have those of you who think the law is so great thought about what the law really said? He goes on to make an elaborate argument based on the story of Abraham and his two sons. His argument proves that the Old Testament itself says that God has something in store for his people that is greater than the law. So once you see that, St. Paul asks, why would you want to bring the law back? The story of Abraham and his sons includes two consistent patterns in the way the Bible tells its story. One pattern is that a woman who was thought to be barren finally gives birth to a child. The second pattern is that a younger son turns out to be greater than the elder and eventually takes his place. The list of barren women who turn out to be fruitful includes Sarah, Rachel, Hannah, Elizabeth, and the virgin, though not necessarily barren, Mary. The list of brotherly reversals includes Cain and Abel, Ishmael and Isaac, Esau and Jacob, Joseph and his brothers, and the brother in the parable of the prodigal son. These patterns are two ways of looking at the relationship between Judaism and Christianity, between the law and the gospel, as St. Paul would put it. The barren Old Testament law, which would not bring men back to God, gives birth to the fruitful work of Jesus and the gospel. Christianity is, as it were, Judaism's younger brother. But Christianity surpasses Jerusalem, surpasses Judaism, and succeeds where Judaism failed. The Epistle to the Hebrews contains a sentence which summarizes the relationship between Judaism and Christianity. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. God takes away what he did first, so he can bring in something better. That is why it is so important for us to understand the Old Testament and the Hebrew roots of Christianity, knowing how wonderfully God worked in the history of the Jews helps us appreciate that what he has done for us in Jesus is even better. We can also come to see that even though we are not ethnically Jewish, we all retain Jewish attitudes that St. Paul wants Christians to be free of. The main such bad attitude is legalism, being like the Pharisee. Legalism comes in us whenever we think that the only way to get on God's good side is to be good, to follow the law or some other code of behavior we approve of, and then take pride in how well behaved we are and how lucky God is to have us on his side. St. Paul says that the real purpose of the Old Testament law is to show us that we cannot keep it. The proper attitude of a Christian is repentance, sorrow for failing to keep the law, not boasting. People who like to focus on scrupulous rule following are usually trying to say, I am better than you, keep the law better than you do. Christians are supposed to compare themselves to the law, not to one another. The fact that God replaces Judaism's good things with Christianity's better things is a theme in today's gospel as well. Jesus turns a little bread into a lot of bread and a couple of fish into many fish. Later in the same sixth chapter of St. John, he gets into a discussion with the people who have eaten the miraculous supply of bread and fish. They say, God gave our forefathers manna in the wilderness. What are you going to do for us? Feeding 5,000 of them miraculously doesn't seem to have been enough. Jesus replies, your forefathers ate manna, but they all died later on. If you eat the bread I can give you, you will never die. When they say, let's have some of that bread, he says, I am the bread of life. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will not have eternal life in you. We are about to eat the bread and drink the cup of eternal life right here when we do have communion. So, tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed as this most justly do, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever.
Amen.